You're listening to Radio Aryan at RadioAryan.com.
Hello and welcome to Truthful Out Radio. Today's date is Friday, the 9th of March, 2018. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks. It's our final live program of the week here at Radio Aryan. And of course, we are joined by the producer of Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told, and countless other excellent chapters of his documentaries, Communism by the Back Door and the Freemasonic Victors of World War II. And plenty of other videos as well. He's a mastermind of alternative facts and history, Mr. Dennis Wise. Dennis, how are you doing today?
Surviving.
you're telling me you've been having a bad week.
An even worse day.
yeah. It sounds it, but we've got some interesting subject matter tonight for listeners, I think, and maybe that'll take your mind off things. There are always people that are, you know, the worst things are happening to, aren't there? You know, we've got Monica Schaefer. She's incarcerated at the moment. We've got, people that are being held in prisons in Britain with trumped up charges for being members of National Action. You know, things can always be, you can always think of people that have got things worse than you, I find, Dennis, you know, yeah. Things aren't that bad.
Well, you made me feel better, yeah.
Good. And I like to do things like that. I like to think our radio makes people feel a bit better as well. You know, that's our duty to lighten the load for our listeners. Well,
just warn them, anything could happen, because that's every day is gone.
Yeah, well, anything could happen any day. You've got to live life to the full and make the most out of every opportunity that you get handed. And I'm going to make the most out of an opportunity I get from being an email correspondent with Richard Edmonds. He sends me emails quite often telling me about what's going on with revisionists. And as you know, we've read out one of his speeches before in English, and I've got a message from him here. It's about some news which he's only just found out about himself, but has actually been going on for a while. And he says, "Friends, I have just learnt, events are cascading, that a very pleasant man, whom some of us got to know and appreciate at meetings of the European Action, the Austrian patriot Dr. Hans Berger, aged 76, has been held in the jail in Vienna for 14 months now. Dr. Berger was arrested completely out of the blue just before Christmas Day 2016. He's being held in the same jail in Vienna in which David Irving was incarcerated in 2006. Dr. Berger, a very educated man, is accused of plotting to overthrow the Austrian government in order to re-establish a national socialist regime. The accusation is made in connection with his support for the European Action. The accusation against Dr. Berger is the most cynical and malicious distortion of the truth, both against him and against the European Action, of which I, for one, was a supporter. Certainly the EA never advocated nor practiced violence, nor did it call for the re-establishment of a national socialist regime in Austria, nor anywhere else. And I'm sure that Dr. Berger never advocated for such either. The consequences for Dr. Berger could be very serious. The accusation against him carries a 20-year sentence and is based upon a post-war occupation decree issued by the four powers occupying Austria post-1945, the Soviet Union, the USA, Great Britain and France. The law is still on the statute books in Austria and has been cynically used against Austrian patriots in the past. On a final note, I now understand why the leaders of European Action formally closed it down in early 2017, a precautionary move." Well, I mean, that just goes to show, doesn't it? These laws that they put in place, they are still using them. I mean, this guy is hardly likely to be trying to re-establish a national socialist regime. All he is a revisionist. And I hadn't heard of him before. But this,
yeah, you know, it's a bit like what we're going to talk about tonight, the laws, and the one in Mexico with from the secret Masonic victory, where them laws are still on statute as well, so they can be brought back at any time, which is a it's not good, is it?
Well, this is just isn't it? When they bring out a law, that's it. It stays on the books. And there's a very famous law, which was the law of expulsion, which said that no Jews were allowed to come set foot in England. And they just chose to ignore that. And yet laws like this one, which are clearly only relevant to the time right after the war, are still being used and applied in circumstances that they were never designed for. And it's the same thing's happening today with Alison Chablow's trial. They're using a law which is supposed to prevent malicious communications act. It's supposed to be for people that are sending offensive mail through offensive letters through the mail and causing gross offence. And yet she's making satirical songs.
Was it this week a trial was?
Yeah. It was Wednesday, and it went very well, actually, Dennis.
Did it? I knew it was Wednesday, but I haven't heard anything.
Yeah, they reported it in the Daily Mail and in the Jewish news media, and she got a lot of information out there. They reported that she said there was no evidence for the gas chambers, that the numbers, the figures don't add up, that they keep changing the figures for the amount of Jews that were supposedly killed. There's been no forensic investigation. She was accused of being racist for saying that she didn't want to see her race die out. And the Crown Prosecution said, well, that's racist to say that. Which just, you know, it makes it clear to everyone that our Crown Prosecution Service is anti-white. Nobody would be fussed if that was any other race that was saying they didn't want their race to die out. I did interview her today for the Daily Nationalist, and we got all the details about it. She's going to be back there in May, and her lawyer, her defence barrister, has an hour to give his final word, and the offence lawyer, he gets an hour, and then the judge is going to make a decision. So May the 25th, I think it is. And we've also got Jez Turner in court, I think, on May the 7th. So we will discuss that nearer the time. But I think it went well, Dennis, anyway. She seemed quite pleased. And, you know, just this disinformation, they wouldn't be allowed to print that in the newspapers of 17 countries in the European Union. You know, just what she actually said in court, they wouldn't be allowed to report. And she wouldn't be able to say it in court. So, you know, that's a positive. That is a positive.
Well, it's stacked against these courts in the EU. I think we discussed before that there's not even a not guilty charge.
No, that's it. They've just got to say, either I'm mad or I'm guilty, please be lenient. If they say anything else, then they're denying the Holocaust in the court. So it's going to be even more of a sentence that's used against them. It's just these laws are just absolutely ludicrous. And hopefully she's going to win, and this campaign against anti-Semitism are going to have egg on their face. And we're talking about Jewish laws again tonight to start off with in the podcast. I know we mentioned before that we were going to talk about the Noahide laws. I know you've been looking into this, Dennis. Do you want to explain about them first, or do you want me to read out what they are, or how do you want to do this?
Well, first of all, we could say, I went on a forum not too long ago, and people still tend to think it's a conspiracy, totally lacking in evidence. But not to people in the know, I don't think. I mean, it was March 26, 1991, when her friend Mr. Bush signed the law, well, passed it into law on Education Day. And according to Jewish tradition, the first of these, six of these seven laws were given to Adam in the Garden of Eden. The sixth law, to not eat live animals, was, Adam didn't actually eat any animals. So when God established his covenant with Noah, he added a seventh, and then the sixth became applicable. If that makes any sense.
And this is just this is all just made up by the Jews. There was no laws that were given to Adam. There was no laws that were given to Noah. There was no mention of any secret oral laws. There was no mention of laws for anyone else other than the actual people in the Bible. The law that it was what happened was after Noah and the flood subsided, God said, "Well, I'm not going to do that again." And he said, you can eat anything. You can eat meat now, but you need to drain the blood from it first. And if anyone kills anyone, then they have to pay with their life. You know, he's basically saying there's got to be justice. And he wasn't saying, these are laws that all the non-Jews have to obey. And this special group, the Jews, they're my special people and they have a special set of laws. There was no such people as the Jews back then. That's no right. such people at all. And the general church view is that everyone is descended from these three sons of Noah. I mean, I would suggest that the three sons of Noah were white because they were brothers. The church says that Japheth was white. The church says that Ham eventually turned black. That's the Africans. And Shem eventually somehow started looking like a Jew. And I think the only way that these peoples could ever start looking Jewish or ever start looking black was by miscegenating with Negroes or miscegenating with Arabic types. So miscegenation anyway, because these were three brothers, they clearly started out white. And this set of laws that they've got, there's no biblical basis for it whatsoever. And what they've done is they've got Bush to put them into effect in America. And when you first hear them, because these a lot often you hear evangelicals talking about them, and when you hear them, you think, well, actually, they don't sound so bad.
It's true that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
when you look into it, though.
yeah. Number one, not to worship idols. Number two, not to curse God. Number three, to establish courts of justice. Number four, not to commit murder. Number five, not to commit adultery or sexual immorality. Number six, not to steal. Number seven, not to eat flesh torn from a living animal. That sounds fine, doesn't it? Until you realize that according to the Talmud, anyone who is a Christian is an idol worshipper. So that means
Catholic like me.
Yeah. Yeah. Not the modern day Judeo-Christian, the ones that don't actually follow Christianity, but follow what the Jews tell them. Oh no, they're not idolaters. But proper Christians that follow the Bible and follow Christianity, they're idolaters. And the punishment is execution, decapitation. Is the punishment. It's a death sentence.
And yeah, I heard that they brought a lot of guillotines in 30 years ago, and they're all in works, just waiting.
Yeah, well, it doesn't surprise me. And you know, the proof that this is the death sentence for this, you've got Rabbi Maimonides. He's a very famous rabbi. I think there was even a coin struck in America with this Maimonides on it, and you hear presidents talking of the great Maimonides. Another name for him is the Rambam. And he states that anyone who does not accept the seven laws is to be executed. So not if you break them, but if you say that these laws are not genuine, then you are to be executed.
That's me and you.
Yeah. Yeah. And he also says that the other Jewish...
That's gorgeous, then.
Yeah. The other Jewish prohibitions, such as grafting of trees and bestiality, that's okay. You don't have to be executed for that. And I don't know if he's just talking
just
about
a slap on the wrist, that one.
Yeah. Bestiality is just a slap on the wrist. But being a Christian, then that's decapitation. And there are evangelical Christians that go along with this and think that these laws are real. And, you know, as you were saying there, Dennis, some people think that it's a conspiracy theory, but there's a Wikipedia page for it. And it says, in 1987, President Ronald Reagan signed a proclamation speaking of the historical tradition of ethical values and principles, which have been the bedrock of society from the dawn of civilization, when they were known as the seven Noahide laws, transmitted through God to Moses on Mount Sinai. So he's going along with this Jewish fairy tale there, claiming that these Jews had these laws and that all of civilization is based upon them. It doesn't stop there. In 1981, Congress stated in the preamble to the 1991 bill that established Education Day in honor of the birthday of Menachem Mendel Schneerson, the leader of the Chabad movement. I mean, what are they doing establishing a special holiday or education day in honor of this rabbi? What has that got to do with America? But they stated in the preamble to the bill, whereas Congress recognizes the historical tradition of ethical values and principles, which are the basis of civilized society and upon which our great nation was founded, whereas these ethical values and principles have been the bedrock of society from the dawn of civilization when they were known as the seven Noahide laws. So he's saying all of America is founded on these fake laws that the Jews have come up with. Talk about toadying.
Yeah, well, that's you getting decapitated. I think the real me.
Well, look at this. Who are the Chabad? You know, who are the Chabad movement? What have they got to do with the founding of America? Why is he brown nosing them?
It all stems from Bush, because I think Bush, George Bush, I think I put the last penny, the last pound at least, on Bush being a Jew, or the family being Jewish, because they're up and they're walking around with Talmud under their arm. You know, the Trotskyite adorers, the neocons, you know, the fool people in America thinking the right wing when the left wing. There's something not right about these Bushes. And don't tell me they funded Hitler.
Yeah, that is a common one that you hear, isn't it?
Yep.
Definitely dodgy. But just you know, this sucking up to the Jews and repeating this nonsense that they come out with. But these ideas, these laws that these Jews have, they are supposed to be enforced when the Jews are in power, basically. So these are the laws that are supposed to be in their state in Palestine that they call Israel. And any non-Jew that is in Israel is supposed to obey these laws. So this is why.
That's why Trump or Israel.
Yeah, because this is the sort of thing that Trump could go along with and
easily. You know,
yeah, and make this even more powerful and make this into law and allow them to, you know, start punishing people for this. But that's the idea behind it, is to say that the idolaters, Christians, us, you know, death sentence for us.
For you, but I think they're all right, these laws.
You think they're all right? You can obey them, are you? You can obey them, are you?
I agree with you totally. There's actually laws ready to come in for when the New World Order comes. Pretty sure about that one.
Yeah, well, they are, aren't they? They're already saying people that do obey Christianity, that speak out against homosexuality, that speak out against usury, that speak out against race mixing. Well, we're already being called heretics. Well, they're not actually using the word heretic or idolater, but that's the way we're treated. You know, we're being told it's hate speech. It's heresy to say these things. And,
well, I guarantee that when these laws do come into pass, then the laws that the Calles government brought in down in Mexico will also come out again. And the rest of them, you know, they're all waiting to be enforced. And, you know, the world, I'm afraid, will be a ball of fire for Christians.
Well, I think it's going to be a ball of fire for the Jews before that. Personally, I think they will get their judgment day. Grandpa Lampshade was talking about the other day. Actually, he was saying, you know, that's what these prophecies say, is that the tares will all be rooted up first, so that the Jews are going to get what's coming to them. Eventually, can't be that far away now. Well, that's actually the topic of what we got as the first comment that we're going to address this week, and this comes from Maura. And she says, why do they want to destroy the world? Where are they going to live? Do they think there will be a future for their children? I cannot get the purpose of all this. If they destroy our civilization, they will be destroyed too. I think that's quite a good question, Dennis. So do you want to answer it? You know, why is it they want to do this?
Yeah. It's a killer of a question, because, funny enough, I was looking at this the other week, and I was looking into transhumanism, which seems to be the goal of the elite, where there's an actual website, can't remember the address line, but it's a website which got a questionnaire and you fill it in and you get so far And then it says, unless you've got $3 million, do not bother going any further, which obviously telling you that this is for the elites. And what they're trying to do is, eventually, I mean, there's already talk about robots are going to be taking jobs quite shortly, but this is going another step. This is talking about, how can I say, the human consciousness going into a robot. And so consequently, they can outlive, any human, but yet still have humans like us doing the slave work for them. But they're gonna, apparently, get into a robot with a human consciousness, and, that's gonna be their way of saying they are God and, living forever.
So you don't think they need us? I mean, I would say, you know, you're probably right there. We went for years with just Negro slave labor, and we were able to achieve lots of things. If you have lots of people, you know, you can put them to work as labor. And they say Negroes are now obsolete farm machinery. So there is that aspect to it, and it's only white people that stand in their way. So that could be a reason, but I think it's more to do with it's just in the nature of the Jews to do that. Yeah. I mean, it's like the scorpion and the frog analogy, isn't it, that we've mentioned before? When, you know, the scorpion says to the frog, give me a lift across that river, and the frog says, no, you'll sting me. And the scorpion says, well, I won't sting you, because if I do that, we'll both drown. And the frog says, oh, okay then. And the scorpion gets on his back, and halfway across, he stings him, and they both drown. And if you look at the Jews' track record, look at what they did to Soviet Russia. They took the place over. They took over the whole of that landmass. They had all of Russia, loads of other countries as well. They could have, you know, made that into a massive gold mine. They could have made an absolute fortune. But what did they do? They ran the place into the ground. They killed as many people as possible, and they bankrupted the country. And it took Putin years to get the country back up on top again. So that's the reason for the Jews doing it. It just comes naturally to them.
And yeah, it's like a virus, isn't it? But yeah. The problem is once the host is dead and you move on to the next host, there's only so many hosts. So consequently, it'll get to a point where there are no hosts, so they'll just turn on themselves. Because it is instinct, like you say.
Well, we see them turning on themselves in Israel. You know, the country Israel can't function without aid from everywhere else, and the American army to defend it. It can't do things for itself. And the Jews have never been able to. They've never been farmers. They've never been civilization builders. They're civilization destroyers. They're parasites. But that doesn't explain the reason for why, you know, we have our own Gentile elites that go along with it. And the reason why the Gentile elites go along with it is because the Jew is so clever at the way that he promotes it. It's all in the language of human rights. It's all about diversity and having mercy on these people and helping them out and helping the poor Negro out and giving him medication so he doesn't die of all these diseases, and giving him water so he doesn't drink poison water. And, you know, it doesn't matter that he then produces 10 times as many of him. And we'll just have to educate him more. You know, it would be really mean not to allow him into Europe. It'd be really mean not to give him medicine. And some of the Gentiles go along with that. And there's also the guilt tripping that goes on. And this guilt tripping, white people, they're so terrible. Look at all the terrible things white man has done, slavery, the Holocaust. And then you end up with whites who think, well, it would be a good thing if we didn't actually exist. And then you get people like, I forget if it's Prince Philip, was it? Or Prince Charles said if he ever came back in the incarnation, yeah, he wanted to be a virus so he could wipe out, you know, the humanity or the white race, because he's been guilted into thinking that white people are bad. So you've got all these reasons why people go along with it, but the source of it all is the Jew and the Jewish nature.
Well, to be honest, as much as I'm against these people trying to virus me, I'm beginning to believe my hatred is more for the traitors. I mean, there's a quote by Adolf Hitler. He said, having discovered the workings of this colossal system for poisoning the popular mind, only a fool could blame the victims of it. So there's a certain amount of people who, you know, I mean, it is such a massive scam that, you know, some people who genuinely have no idea what's going on. They'll probably argue all day about it, you know, saying that what you're saying is wrong or lies. But there's a certain amount, like I said, we mentioned one particular family not just 10 minutes ago, which, you know, I believe if by some chance things swing round, you know, you don't even have to pass me a gun. The job will already be done.
Well, these traitors, that's it. You know, the traitors are worse because the Jew is just doing what comes naturally to him. And whether you
that's
think...
what I mean.
You think this is because, you know, they're born that way, I think that they have a diabolical streak to their genetics, or whether, like E. Michael Jones, you think that, you know, once they rejected Logos, once they rejected Christ, once they rejected the truth, they then became the forces of chaos and lies and revolution and rebellion, and they've been fundamentally against the order of the universe ever since then. That's his theory. And obviously that gets passed on down, and this is why their Talmud is the way it is. This is why their religion is the way it is. It's reflected in everything there is about them. So, you know, there are different ways you can look at why they're like it, but I don't think you can argue that they're not like it. I mean, even Kevin MacDonald, I mean, his books show that this is the way that they are. And these are the strategies that they've developed as a nation to get by. We've developed farming, civilization, technology, and they've developed these parasitic ways of living off a host.
Well, what's interesting at the moment is the feminine movement, because very similar to a virus running out of horse and turning on each other, the feminist movement at the moment, the white feminists are getting stick, because what the non-white feminists are saying is that it's your race, what was the problem to start with? So now the white women of the feminist movement got problems.
Well, as we know, feminism is a Jewish movement through and through. And sometimes you hear...
It's the white race,
Yeah, well, you do hear them blaming whites. But the problem is you see these white people that are calling themselves feminists that go along with this, and they give a free pass to Islam. I mean, it's a favourite target of the alt-right or the civic nationalists. You know, they say, it's not fair that these Muslim women have to wear hijabs in Iran and in Saudi Arabia. And, it's against feminist principles. But feminism itself is anti-white. It blames white people for everything.
Yep. Yeah. So even the white women have got problems.
Yeah. Well, quite clearly. One of the funniest things I think about it is these older feminists that speak up against the trannies. And now they're being banned from the feminist movement for speaking out against the trannies.
what a mess.
There's a great quote by Katie Hopkins, and she said... She said, a cat with its legs chopped off is not a slug. It does not make it a slug. same as man with his bits cut off does not make him a woman. And I thought that was a great quote.
Well, I think, is it Greer, one of the women?
Yeah.
She's about 70 odd, yeah. Even she turns around and says that, is it Caitlin? He can have as many operations as he wants, but he'll never be a woman.
Yeah, they're getting really, really wound up about it. They are, and the Labour Party keeps bringing them in on these all female shortlists that are supposed to get more women into politics, and they keep putting transsexuals on there.
Yeah,
and the women get furious. Right. Well, let's move on to Tom Russell's comment. Tom Russell was writing this in January. He says, "Dennis, this week is Holocaust Memorial Day. Do you have any work which goes into the torture experiments that the Nazis did during the Holocaust? I find that a strong argument against the Germans is torture. So I'd like to know your view." So I guess what he's saying is you know, what about these torture experiments that the evil Nazis did during the war, Dennis? What about them?
Well, I'm sorry, the only Holocaust I know is Dresden.
Well, there wasn't really any. I don't know what he means by torture experiments. There's all this talk about Joseph Mengele, isn't there? And all these accusations that the Germans were doing experiments. Yeah, it's not true, is it? They did experiments on themselves. you know, jumping out of planes with parachutes and all that sort of thing. You wouldn't be doing high-tech experiments on the enemy, because the results of the experiments would then get out to the enemy.
Well, they have to have an excuse, right, why they had an hospital in Auschwitz and other camps. So the best excuse they could come up with, rather than saying, because these workers were looked after, they had football teams and they had swimming pools and everything else that they hide from the general public, they can't hide a hospital. So they need an excuse. An excuse they came up with: experiments.
That's what they were doing in the hospitals, was it? That was where they were doing the torture experiments.
Yeah,
that's what you use hospitals for, isn't it? Yeah, that's what they do in hospitals. They torture people. I remember reading somewhere, I forget whether it's either in Mein Kampf or reading something about this, and I read that the doctors, there was some kind of law where the doctors could only experiment on themselves. And if they were going to be trying something out which was new, they would experiment on themselves, not on unsuspecting victims.
Well, the problem with the Holocaust, right, is people will ask me questions about the Holocaust, and I can't really give them a straight answer because I'm not allowed to investigate. And like I said, you know, I've never denied the Holocaust because Dresden was always, is always on my mind.
Well, Dresden is... You know, and the firebombing were the only actual real Holocaust, because Holocaust is burnt to a crisp, and the Jews don't allege that they were burnt to a crisp. They allege that they were gassed. So no, they weren't Holocausted. The people that were Holocausted were the Germans. So yeah, the whole narrative doesn't make sense.
Well, I can't investigate it anyway. I'm not allowed to.
Well, I think you do a good enough job of it as it is, Dennis. Actually. Investigating it, yeah. Next comment, Ed Carla. He says, Dennis, can I ask, Jacob Rees-Mogg is being touted as Prime Minister, but this cannot happen, as Catholics can't be Prime Minister, right? What are your views on Jacob Rees-Mogg?
Well, to be honest, it's the first time I've heard of him, to be honest, but they are right. The Catholics can't become Prime Minister. Although there's a debate on the internet somewhere saying that it's possible, but it isn't, trust me.
Well, that's the first time I've heard that Jacob Rees-Mogg is a Catholic, and Tony Blair...
It sounds Jewish, doesn't it?
Well...
Being like Jacob.
There is that, but then Christians take names from the New Testament, don't they? And the Old Testament. It's... Jews take them because they want to sound as if they are the people of the Old Testament, and Christians take them because they want to honour the people of the Bible. So, you know, I wouldn't say that that's, you know, saying that he's Jewish. His surname is Rees-Mogg, and that doesn't really sound very Jewish.
No, it doesn't, but, you know, they can change their names, can't they? But I'm not saying he is, but I don't know zilch about the guy. You?
Yeah, I think he's pretty good. I think he's definitely the best out of all the Tories. He wants a hard Brexit. He wants a stop to immigration.
Does he wear glasses?
Yeah. And he's very well spoken. And he always defeats the journalists. Always. I've never seen him lose. Yeah, he's really good. And they reckon he does have a chance. Some people don't like him because he's very upper class. But he's not banker upper class. He's a very intelligent man. That's why he's in the upper class. That's why he's the elite. And he spoke at the...
The problem is that I don't believe voting changes anything. That's my honest opinion.
Well, it may not change things massively, but it can make life a little bit easier for us. I do think Donald Trump is making life a little bit easier for people in America. For one thing, he withdrew all the funding for subversion of white nationalist groups, because they had a lot of funding that was going to intelligence services to infiltrate them and subvert them, and he withdrew all that funding.
But all that can be ruined in a statement like he came out with the other week about Syria. Even in proper investigations, they were asked how he let off the chemicals.
Yeah, well, that's something completely different. That's foreign policy. That's Syria.
Yeah, but it involves America, though.
Yeah, I'm saying he makes life easier for white nationalists by stopping the infiltration of the white nationalist movements. His foreign policy in Syria is not good. But some of the things he has done has made life better for people in America. So,
fair enough. But like I said, that can always spoil. I mean, his love of Israel. If he was to say, I think last time I heard him speak about it, he said, I'm not going to tell anybody when I'm going to strike or what I'm going to do, because I don't want to give people any warning, which is fair enough. He was quoting Obama when they were going, trying to take Mosul. But the problem is that if he does anything to Syria and upsets Russia, no matter what he does for American nationalists, that's my point.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to interfere too much in Syria. Now Putin's said he's got all these nuclear weapons. I think he's going to be concentrating on making friends with Kim Jong-un. I think that's fantastic. I've said for ages that I bet that he would get on really well with Kim Jong-un. And I'd love to be a fly on the wall if he ever had dinner with him. And I didn't ever think it would happen. And then we get the news today that he's going to go out and he's going to meet Kim Jong-un. He must have a certain degree of respect for the man because, North Korea is completely isolated from the rest of the world. And yet they have managed to get their own nuclear weapon and force America to stop doing what they said they were going to be doing. I mean, you've got to have respect for him.
If he gives his weapons up, though, he's got a problem.
Yeah, exactly. He said he's going to stop the nuclear testing, but just getting...
I heard he was talking about giving up his weapons, which I shook my head up because we all know what happens to countries that give their weapons up.
Yeah, but he's still done very, very well to get America to actually come to the table. And I think Trump is going to want to be the man that denuclearized North Korea and brought world peace. And he's going to want to go down in history for that. So
let's hope so.
I mean, it's going to be interesting to see. But Jacob Rees-Mogg, I think he has a good chance of getting in. But if you, as you say, Dennis, they can't have a Catholic prime minister. And Tony Blair, he wasn't a Catholic, and he left. The job as Prime Minister, he went and got baptised as a Catholic, didn't he?
Well, I mean, it's simple, really. I mean, this country's run by Freemasonry. And Freemasonry, the last thing they want is a Catholic king or a Catholic Prime Minister or a Catholic head of anything, head of the army, head of police. It's never going to happen.
That's something that needs to get brought up by some of the Jacob Rees-Mogg supporters.
Yeah,
get them to ask him that. That's quite a valid question, I think, that does need to be answered. Okay. Son of Northern Europe. He says, Dennis, do you think there will be a civil war between the races in Europe within 20 years?
I think if he's talking about civilians taking up arms, that's quite possible. I don't think there'll be any armies fighting because there's no armies to fight the New World Order now. But civilians, possibly, yeah. I look at it this way. Drastic measures, need drastic solutions. And to be quite honest, it's got to a stage now where they need to be sent back. But there's nobody going to send them back. They came in, they can go out. Nobody's going to send them out. And that's what it needs now.
Yeah, we seem to be heading for that. I mean, what we are trying to do is to avoid a civil war. That's why we're bringing these things to people's attention now. Before
the Tommy Robinson video that he sent me, that was interesting. When he went into that migrant area and he actually downed one, didn't he? Do you remember that?
Well, that just shows you, doesn't it? He went into that area because there was a woman journalist who had gone into this no-go area and she was reporting on air. Yeah, and these savages just grabbed hold of her and dragged her off. I was listening to it over my headphones, blood curdling, hearing her shriek, as this creature grabbed hold of her. And that was live on television. That's how much front that they have. So he went there to see what was going on and in that area, and this Negro came up to him and said he was going to kill him. So he lamped him one. Yeah, it was brilliant.
dropped in, didn't he?
Yeah, good on Tommy Robinson. Yeah, you know? I mean, I don't see eye to eye with him on everything, but I think he's doing a great job of this.
Well, I've got to be honest. You know, I heard a speech of his. He was telling of all the problems that he'd had. He'd been sent to prison. And one particular time he got sent to prison, there were two kind of areas. I can't remember, Air B now, but just call it Air B. And he knew, and the governor of that prison knew that if he went into A, he's going in with Muslims who are doing 20 years or more, got life, right? So he's a dead man. But if he goes into B, then maybe, you know, he might have the odd fight, you know, but his chances of survival are a lot better. And they put him in the A block.
They did all sorts of tricks to him while he was inside. All sorts of tricks. He was having to get himself put into solitary just to protect himself. You know, they tried to off him. Yeah, I think he's doing a great job of drawing attention to what is going on, and best of luck to him now that he's left Ezra Levant's rebel media. Yeah, I just hope he wakes up to the Jewish question and the racial question, because he's, you know, he's such an effective advocate for us. You know, I mean, people warm to him. He's picking up, you know, viewers from all over the country. You know, people that aren't nationalists are now following him and reading his books and paying attention to him. You know, he's a force to be reckoned with. I think, I don't know, within 20 years, I think there could be civil war between 20 years. We've got a version of civil war now on the streets. We've got blacks attacking whites, Muslims attacking whites. You know, we already have racial war on the streets. Just look at the figures of white people that get killed by non-whites every year and all the crimes that go on.
I think the problem is, Sven, right, is that there's too many not aware. You know, I mean, there's too many walking around with puzzles on the face because they can't understand what's happening. They see a lot of immigrants. They're going to London, they can't find anybody. The last directions, they can't find anybody who speaks English. You know, but there's a great puzzlement about them. I think the day that the majority dawns on them that, you know, they're looking at extinction, but then again, it could be too late. You know, but I think that is the time then when people realise that this has been planned for a century, at least.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? You know, we just hope and pray that people wake up to what's going on. This is a genocide. We are being replaced in our own countries. What's happening in South Africa? That's what's in store for us.
Yeah.
Once we become minorities in our own countries, we will be treated exactly the same as the whites are now being treated in South Africa, the same as they were treated in Rhodesia as well. And this is and in Haiti. You know, this is a foregone conclusion. At least what's happening in South Africa is being reported. But I mean, just this week, they're going on and making this huge fuss about a black girl in a university dormitory in Britain. And white lads came back drunk and they were singing Blacks Out, Blacks Out. Now, that's headline news. They've interviewed the black girl. She's, oh, that's so terrible. How could this happen in the current year? And yet, in the same week, we've got a black politician in South Africa saying we are slitting the throat of whiteness. We are slitting the throat of whiteness, he says.
Yep.
And nobody in the news is saying, well, hang on a minute. This guy's a politician and he's threatening to kill white people. He's threatening to kill all white people, slit all our throats. Nobody's saying anything about that. Nobody's interviewing anyone. But just because two lads come home drunk and start singing Blacks Out, you know, that's headline news.
Yeah, we're at the internet. You probably wouldn't know that one.
Well, they say it's a hate crime as well. But, you know, I mean, what about this politician? Surely what he's saying is a hate crime if what these white lads were singing is a hate crime. But it's only ever used against us.
Yeah.
It's anti-white. Well, these comments that we're going through here, they don't actually come from one of your documentaries. They come from your video on Paris, Dennis. And the next comment the next comment is from Codec One. And he says, this isn't very relevant to the rest of your videos, but if you were to guess, how long do you think it will take until the world learns the truth about Adolf Hitler? So I'd say there's two questions there. He's wondering how what's happening in Paris is relevant to your other videos. And also, you know, how long do you think it will be until the world learns the truth about Adolf Hitler?
Well, in answer to the first part of the question, the actual elimination of the white race, what we've just been talking about, is in motion. And the video I showed of the streets of France, we've got Somalians sleeping in the street. I don't see a woman in any of the videos, to be honest, French or Somalian. To go for a walk at night down that particular road is suicide. So that is why, obviously it was work. He knew, especially with the Rhineland and the mixture of the black French colonial soldiers. That was the start of it. He knew what was happening. And so obviously this is just a follow on. But he doesn't realize that, which is why I asked that question. The second part of the question, how long will it take? How long is a piece of string, Sven? I don't know.
Yeah, I think there's more people aware of the truth now, but then you think... At the time, it was closer to the time, so maybe there was a lot more people back then. Don't forget, we had lots of people that were locked up in prison during the war for not wanting the war. And after the war, Winston Churchill wasn't voted in as Prime Minister. Everybody voted him out. So there was a feeling of not wanting the war back then, and more people are finding out the truth now. And I think what you're showing with that video with Paris there is this is the result of losing that war. All of this is the result of losing that war, and it was all predicted by him.
Well, people ask me what's the solution, and the solution were to win World War II. The problem is, right, is that people don't realise, picked an Oscar up this week, didn't they, the Churchill thing. What people don't realise is when you walk out on that balcony at the end of World War II to a sea of white faces, you've got Churchill and the royal family waving away. Within 9 months, Churchill is in Switzerland giving a speech praising Krudenov Kalergi. And since then, London has turned into Baghdad and nothing's been said. So you've got to put two and two together to make four. When they were looking out at them white faces, they were saying to themselves on that balcony, won't be long till these are gone.
I think part of it is they're thinking, what's the problem? Where do these wars come from? Oh, wars come from different peoples fighting one another, different ethnicities fighting one another. So the way to get rid of war is to just blend everyone together into one ethnicity, then there'll be no more wars and there'll be no more racism.
And they have to think of other ways to make money then, because they make money from wars, don't they? If they stop, that's why they come with this global warming crap.
We know that, but this simplified way of looking at things, that if you blend all the ethnicities together and blend all the races together, there'll be no more racism. That's what the modern European thinks like. That's the way the liberal thinks, isn't it? We've heard them say it. This is the way we get rid of racism. We just blend everyone out and we'll all be brown and that'll be it. There'll be no more wars and everyone will be happy clappy. But when you look at countries like that, a prime example is Brazil. Brazil is all blended in and it's one of the most violent countries in the world. In fact, all the non-white countries are incredibly violent. That's all you'll end up with. You'll just end up with reverting back to being savages. Cannibals. Okay, we've got another comment here from Krakaloa. And I guess that might be a she. She says, "Hey, Dennis, will you make a video about the American Civil War? I do not trust the history books." Are you thinking about the American Civil War, Dennis?
Well, to be honest, I was looking at Lincoln the other day, actually. It's a fallacy that he weren't a racist. He had slaves. He talked about the blacks as being, never going to be equal with the whites. The speeches of him, which he gave, which took note of. Whether I'm going to make a video on it, I don't know. But certainly it's interesting. I mean, he's lived off this. People, the majority of the world think that the Civil War was about slavery. When it actually wasn't.
No, it wasn't at all. Well, what I could actually say to the commenter is that Mysterium Fasces did a podcast that was on the Civil War and the war between the Southerners and the Yankees. A very, very good podcast that was drawing links with the Yankees, with the Normans that invaded Britain, and before that, the Anglo-Saxons and the Cymry, and about divisions between white people. And that went into a lot of details about it. And I would suggest checking out that episode. It was a Mysterium Fasces episode, if people are interested in learning more about the Civil War, because I think that was the best discussion I've ever heard about it. Especially mm-hmm. being British, because, you know, we don't know that much about it. And
no, we don't. Yeah. I heard that Rothschilds were behind the South and was behind the North as well. I mean, Lincoln got shot, didn't he?
I think they came in later on. But, I mean, the Southerners knew all about race. They knew all about race, and the Northerners sure didn't. Yeah. And the Northerners just, you know, they used the Negroes. They wanted to, you know, set them all free, and they were setting them free, and then they were going out raping and murdering, and that's why you had to have lynching, because they didn't have a courthouse for hundreds of miles. You couldn't just hold them and wait and, you know, take them off to a courthouse. You had to get everybody there, and the only time they did lynch them was if the whole community agreed that they were guilty. And the reason for doing it was because they had to put the fear of God into these other Negroes, because they outnumbered the whites, you know, sort of 10-1. You couldn't be out on a farm with, you know, you and your family and 100 Negroes and they get riled up. They called it tampering with the Negroes. And these Northerners would go in and say, you're a free man. You're just as good as these whites, you know. You can be just as good as them. You're being mistreated here. And the Negroes, some of them fell for it and did terrible things. So they ended up having to be lynched. And then when they were freed, they realized that they couldn't look after themselves. And the white Southerners were really good to them, most of these slave owners. They gave them farmland. They gave them farm machinery. And, of course, the machinery just went to rust. The farmland just didn't get sown with anything. The money that they got left just got spent on gambling. You know, the Negroes weren't used to being told, here you are, you're a free man now. You know, they like the way that they were living, because they've always been like that. They've always sold each other as slaves, and they've always had a master. And the master provided the roof over their heads and the food and the clothing, and looked after them. And in return, they picked the corn or picked the cotton or did whatever the jobs were. If you read the literature from 1800s and 1900s about slavery that was actually written by the people in the South, you get a completely different story to the narrative that we're told today. And I believe the Southerners, because, you know.
Oh, it doesn't help.
Yeah, we know, Dennis, you know, you and I both know how generous and kind white people are. I mean, look, look at how we've opened up our borders. We've let them flood into our countries. We bend over backwards for them. We know it's the Jews behind a lot of it. But we wouldn't do it if we weren't, you know, decent, good people. We don't mistreat anyone just for the sake of mistreating them, and certainly not because we have some aversion to certain colours on the spectrum. It's, you know, it's ridiculous.
What amuses me is when the left complain about statues of Robert E. Lee. You know, they don't realise that the speech that Lincoln were giving when he was saying, like, that, you know, don't believe that I'm going to make the black man equal, and the whole room bursts into laughter. You know, the North were just as racist as the South, if not more.
Well, the whole idea, wasn't it, about, all men are created equal, and that wasn't meant to include Negroes. Negroes were Negroes, and the white man was the white man. And when it says all men are created equal, that meant all whites are created equal. And they are if they are being contrasted with Negroes. You couldn't say all whites are equal in an ethno state, because obviously you've got some whites with a higher IQ than others, some whites that are more talented than others. But if you're putting white in against black, you can say all these white people are equal in the fact that they are different to the blacks. But that's the only way you can ever say white or all people are equal is to say all white men are equal in the presence of blacks. And there was a really good book written about that at the time. I did a series of narrations on it at the time that the Declaration was being made or the Bill of Independence, whichever one it was, that talks about this equality, and it says specifically that it's only talking about white men. And it's been totally distorted today. Yeah, it's the same as when they said, oh, the war was about slavery. It wasn't about slavery at all. It was about,
that was propaganda tool, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was about bringing the money mindset, the materialist mindset into the South. But check out the Mysterium Fascis episode on it anyway. It's very, very good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next comment. Wilson Colon. That's an interesting name. He says, Dennis Wise, what do you think will be the outcome of Poland's Holocaust bill? Do you know about this bill, Dennis?
Oh, you have to fill me in on that one.
It's a new law that Poland have come out with that says that it's against the law for anyone to blame Poles for the Holocaust.
Really?
Yeah. And the Jews are hopping mad about it. They are absolutely furious about it. It's very funny, actually. They're trying to get Donald Trump to weigh in. They've been saying, you know, you can't write laws to change history and all of this. But Poland was under occupation. They're under occupation by the Germans. So you can't, you know, say that it was the Poles that were setting the camps up and all the rest of this nonsense narrative of the Jews about gassing them. So the Poles
said... And somebody went to Auschwitz, and he come back and told me that the Poles were kicking off because they were always, you know, left out of the situation. They said there were more Poles killed than there were Jews.
Well, yeah, that's it. They're saying, you know, how can you, you know, nobody can say that it was the Poles that were killing the Jews. It was the Germans that were killing the Poles. So it's an argument about who's the biggest victim and just, you know, preempting the Jews because they will never be able to get any money out of Poland for the Holocaust because the Poles have made it illegal to blame Poland for the Holocaust. So that's what's really getting them. They're not going to be able to shake them down.
They don't pay tribute then.
Yeah, they're not going to be able to shake them down for any money.
Can I just say, like, the wife opened a wage packet the other day and she was quite annoyed at X amount of pounds going out to foreign aid.
Oh, it's...
And breakdown of her wages. And I said, well, you know where that's going.
Well, did they actually tell her that, you know, how much was going on foreign aid in the wage packet?
Foreign aid, yeah, I couldn't believe it.
Foreign aid, and we got starving white people. We got white people dying on the streets because they're homeless. Yep. Yeah, in the cold, and they're sending money to Africa.
I think Jim Traffic can say we're more billions to Israel, but they're not a country what are actually, you know, needing aid. It's tribute, isn't it?
Tribute, yeah.
Yeah, the completely. World War II, so now you're going to pay just like you did with the Romans.
Well, we got a final comment here. This is from Alan Barwise. He says, why are the elite doing this? Do they really believe that they will control these people even more than law-abiding, hard-working white Europeans? So what's your answer to that?
Well, there's no relation to me, Mr. Barwise.
Why are the elite doing this? I think what he's saying there is that the blacks are going to be, you know, they're not going to obey the law.
Well, it's not only that, it's the homosexuals to push as well, because if the Muslims get in, they're going to be throwing them off rooftops. So it's all a bit of a mishmash.
This goes back to what I was saying earlier, you know, there's no real rhyme or reason to it. It's just natural instincts with them to create chaos. The natural instinct is to wipe out white people, replace all of us and create chaos and try and make profit out of it as well. And it's just a natural instinct that the Jews have. I mean, that's the only answer I can give because it's not logical, is it? You know,
it's not logical, no. But I think whatever it takes to get rid of the white race, and then we'll see what happens after. I think that's the plan.
Yeah, but you can see that what's going on is not logical. It's not logical to bring all these other races in to replace us. It's not logical to teach children homosexuality. It's not logical to say that, you know, anyone can be whatever gender they want. None of this is logical. It's all harmful to us, and it all comes from the same source. You know, that's what you need to point out to people is the ethnicity of the people that are calling for this and the lobby groups that are calling for it. Dennis, we're reaching near the end of the podcast. Have you got anything planned for next week or so? Have you got any new parts of the documentary coming out?
I did the bare minimum this week. At one point, I started to do part 12. But as I said before, will this be part 12 come the end of the week or so? So we'll have to just wait and see. But at the moment, I'm trying to ram home this. That it's not the British Empire at all. You know, they've been a cuckoo's moved in.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Is the Jewish British Empire, I guess.
Yeah, that's it.
All right.
Thanks
for coming on once again, Dennis. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. If you have anything that you'd like me and Dennis to talk about, any suggestions for subjects that we could cover in the show, or anything you want to ask Dennis, then just leave it in the comments, and we can address it in one of these Friday night shows. So if you think of anything, just leave it in the comment section. Don't forget that we do require donations to keep the radio station going. Thanks for listening, and we hope you all have a great weekend ahead of you.
To Radio Aryan.